Hello and welcome to episode 364 of the official EstablishedTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva, and the NFL draft is just 8 short days away. I, of course, don't really care about the draft, but I do care very much about the NFL draft props, one of the softest and best markets there is to bet, and that is what we are going to talk about today. For this, we are joined by the man. I don't know. I don't think anyone has grinded their cock off harder than this man on draft props. Not only grinding dozens of books for lines without a scraper, you know, only his hard hat, but also grinding all the podcasts and the articles and the DMs for info. It is Anthony Amico. Amico, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great, Adam. This is you know, I really got to flex the heart this time of year. Like you said, we're grinding through all the books. That's what we do.
New star of the Ross Tucker Show and now enemy number one of Steve Fezzik.
Yes, Amico had a great spot on Ross Tucker's show. You guys can go back and listen to that over on their podcast. As I said, on today's show, we're going to take a second look at draft props. We did this show about a month ago. A ton has changed. I think the board or what's available right now isn't exactly wide open as we've been betting these and moving the market. Hopefully you guys signed up for the giveaway thing that we did. You've been getting the emails on the props and checking Instagram, checking Twitter. It's all free as long as you signed up for it. But I think there's still plenty to discuss here as we get prepared for more markets to open. Quick note here to start. I think that Amico would agree. I'm not sure Silva agrees, but we don't leave free money lying around on the ground, Amico. And so this BetMGM promo that we had going, it briefly expired, but we got it set back up and it's live now from the betting dropdown on the site. I mean, this free money, this spend infinite on customer acquisition play from sportsbooks is not going to last. It's insane not to take advantage of it. Sign up with our link at BetMGM for a new account. In addition to a risk-free bet, you'll get an $85 coupon to use on any ETR product. Just an absolutely ridiculous deal. All right. Let's start with number one overall pick market. There's been some fluctuation here, Evan. I guess there was a rumor or report that the Jaguars want an offensive player at number one overall. And I don't think that was very substantial report, but it did move the market because Hutchinson went from minus 250, minus 300. He's down. I saw him get as low as like minus 180. Now I see minus 200 or so. Where are you at on the number one overall pick right now, Evan? Do you still think that it's Aiden Hutchinson, or is there someone else you have on your mind?
Well, in my first mock, I had Trayvon Walker, and the winds were definitely blowing in that direction, I think, for a while. I don't think that they've stopped blowing in that direction, but it still seems like the sports bets value the sports books value Aiden Hutchinson as the favorite at number one overall. The report was that Doug Peterson was pulling for an offensive player at number one overall, which would make sense in theory because you want to build around Trevor Lawrence to the greatest extent that you can. But it seems to me like Trent Baalke is the one driving this ship, potentially off the waterfall. But I think that he seems to be in the camp that they want to take a defensive player. To me, that is potentially Trayvon Walker. I mean, I think if I were to build another mock draft today, and I'm going to build one over the weekend, I would have Trayvon Walker number one overall to Jacksonville. The odds seemingly move, you know, day to day, if not hour by hour. So I don't even know what the odds on Trayvon Walker. Like, I have my bets in already, and I'm moving on from the number one overall pick. But what's the latest on Trayvon Walker, number one to the Jags?
The DraftKings has plus 190. Amico might know of some better lines out there for Trayvon Walker, number one. The only thing I'd say on that quote unquote report, like, you know, Doug Peterson is the offensive guy. It doesn't surprise me at all. They have added a ton of offensive talent, not only the guys they added in free agency, but they also are getting Travis Etienne back, which is like, you know, almost a draft pick in itself. And so defense certainly makes more sense to me. Amico, where are you at on the number one overall pick right now?
Yeah, I'm with Evan. I mean, I think that Walker makes a lot of sense when you consider that Baalke's the one that's going to make the decision. Like, it's not Doug Peterson's decision. It's not, you know, anybody on the defensive coaching staff's decision. It's Trent Baalke's, and he has a really long history of, you know, making these decisions based on the upside, based on the athleticism, which is the Walker profile. So
arm length has long been something that he has prioritized, and Trayvon Walker has massively long arms.
Is there any long, like, do you still think that any long shots are in play to be the number one overall pick? I know we have some good numbers on Ike Ekwonu out there. Anybody else, Amiko, that you think has at least a chance to be the number one overall pick?
I mean, not really. I mean, I guess Ekwonu is like at least in play just for the reasons you mentioned. But I mean, honestly, like Walker, you're getting close to 2-1. Like the market's telling you that it's a 33% chance he's going to be picked. Like it kind of feels at least closer to a coin flip than that. So yeah. I still feel like that's a good number.
Evan, any long shots you like? Number one, Ekwonu was 16-1. Thibodeau, 18-1. Evan Neal, 20-1.
My sleeper would be Kayvon Thibodeau to go number one overall to Jacksonville. Yeah. He fits the profile of the Trent Baalke high, you know, early round draft pick. And although there was quite a bit of negative chatter on him early on, you know, I think that he has not necessarily, I still think he's probably going to be a top seven pick and quite possibly top five and quite possibly top three. I mean, if you look at some of the more plugged in, you know, mock drafters right now, you'll see him as early as number two. And you can get him at, I threw a little sprinkle on it last week, at 20-1 for Kayvon Thibodeau to go number one overall to Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think at those odds, I'm willing to take a shot.
Yeah, around 16-1 right now on DraftKings for sure. I wanted to bring up Thibodeau too. That was going to be my next topic to bring up, because Thibodeau, like Evan mentioned at the beginning of this process, we had some bets on over draft position on Thibodeau. We were low on Thibodeau. Now, all of a sudden, Thibodeau has come roaring back, Amiko. He is now plus 150, the favorite to be the number two overall pick. I know you've expressed some confusion about what's going on here. What is your best guess on how Thibodeau is getting steamed back up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as we get a little closer to the draft, it's becoming more and more clear that the Lions are probably not going to take a quarterback at two. So with quarterback out, you're looking at a defensive player. They're already pretty fortified up front. You know, Dan Campbell wants to help build the defense. Aaron Glenn, they want to build the defense. So, you know, if it's whoever it isn't at one between Hutchinson and Walker, if you assume that it's down to those two guys, like that player is obviously in play at two. But then Thibodeau appears to be someone that the Lions have done a lot of work on. They've met with him multiple times. They've done probably their most amount of research on Thibodeau, which could make sense for a variety of reasons, but those reasons include obviously that they're interested in taking him second overall. And Thibodeau is from Oregon. They just drafted Penei Sewell out of Oregon last year, so pretty strong connection there. I think that, you know, if you're looking to get the inside scoop on what's going on with Thibodeau, what he's like as a teammate, as a player, you know, they have someone in-house that can answer those questions.
Yeah, I mean, to me, number two overall pick market, Trayvon Walker is plus 450. And so if you think that they're definitely going edge, plus 450 seems like a good number to go. Number two, to me, Evan, any thoughts on the Lions and what they'll do at number two right now?
I wrote this at the top of my first mock draft. I've talked to several people who have like a history of being pretty accurate with their mock drafts, and none of them expressed strong confidence in really anything. They say it's the most wide open first round that they can remember, and that's beginning at the number one overall pick. And so if we don't have a firm, you know, level of confidence on the number one overall pick, how can we be confident in the number two overall pick? So yeah, looking at the longer shots, you know, just because of the volatility that begins at one and extent, and it becomes more volatile every pick that you go down the board, looking at the longer shots, I think is the smart way to approach numbers two, three, four, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And as we talked about in the first one, anticipating trades, like, it doesn't mean the Lions are going to pick number two, and you don't know what a team needs, who trades up for number two. You don't know what their team needs are. Only thing I would say, Evan, I think you're right. It's probably true. I'm just so tired of every year these mock people saying, this is the hardest year I've ever done mock. No, wait. This is the hardest year I've ever done. No. This is the hardest time. It's always hard to do a mock. It's always impossible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So every year, I mean, hey, if you were to match 14, I think, what did Josh Norris get last year? I think it was like 14. Was it 16? Yeah. So that's a 50% hit rate, you know, and that's the best mock draft ever. So and you know, Josh will tell you about that. That just goes to show. And in a normal year, if you get 11 matches from players to teams out of the top 32, that's a hell of a mock draft, you know? Sure. So
yeah,
it's very, very hard every single year, but I do buy into this is maybe the hardest one.
Okay. Let's go to the quarterback position. I don't know if you guys listened to the podcast I did with Thor, but he thought it would be like absolutely insane for an NFL franchise not to take Malik Willis if they're taking a quarterback as the first quarterback off the board. That's only minus 150 on DraftKings. There might be some better numbers out there. Evan, what do you think about this whole debate at quarterback? Do you think Malik Willis is a play at minus 150? We also took some long shots, but numbers are gone now. We took Desmond Ridder 30-1 to be the first quarterback taken. It's now 10-1. Don't think that's likely again, but 30-1 was too good to pass up. But anyways, right now it looks like the market is saying it's down to Willis or Pickett. Willis minus 150, Pickett plus 160. Evan, what are you hearing or thinking about the quarterback?
Well, Thor is really good at what he does, and he built an excellent argument for NFL teams to be aggressive in the way they approach Malik Willis in this draft. However, I keep coming back to the fact that Malik Willis really didn't dominate as a player as a quarterback at Liberty. And that's a concern to me. He did not consistently dominate at that level. He didn't, you know, necessarily, and his teammates weren't great. So you can't, there is the Josh Allen corollary there. Although I think that Josh Allen's supporting cast at Wyoming was better than people remember it to be. But at Liberty, I mean, you know, you haven't heard of really anybody else on that offense. So I understand that. But just the fact that he did not dominate at that level, that's a red flag to me and a reason to continue to stay. And I think that teams will agree with that. My sense is that most teams have a second round grade on Malik Willis. That's not to say that he's going to go in the second round, because second quarterbacks with second round grades go up in the first round because they play quarterback.
Yep.
But I'm sticking to Malik Willis to the Steelers, whether it be via trade up. They seem to telegraph their pick, their picks in the first round. Even last year, they telegraphed Najee Harris, the running back, and even Pat Freiermuth in the second round. The Steelers beat writers were saying, hey, if Najee Harris goes before their pick, I think it was at 24 or 21 or somewhere in there, then they were going to take Freiermuth in the first round. So, and I think that it's been telegraphed really from day one that Mike Tomlin loves Malik Willis.
Yeah, so I want to get to that one in a second here. I'm curious, though, Amika, what you think about Malik Willis minus 150 to be the first quarterback off the board.
It's probably just like a no bet for me, honestly. Like, I think that we did a really good job getting Ridder when we did, because as Evan mentioned, like the quarterbacks in this class, they don't warrant these top picks. So once you get into the mid to late first round, I mean, just ratchet up the variance tenfold, right? Like there's no set order to these guys. It's really going to come down to what team takes a quarterback first, what team makes a move for a quarterback first, and who they genuinely believe is the best player. And that could be, you know, three or four different guys probably at this point. So I'm comfortable with Ridder still probably at 10-1. I still think that that's okay. I'm otherwise probably not betting this market.
Evan mentioned Steelers' connection with Malik Willis. Obviously, they played against Lamar Jackson multiple times a year over the last few years. That was a reasonable comp, Michael Vick comp for Malik Willis. I mean, just as a fantasy guy, I mean, the more I read and watch this Malik Willis stuff, it's like, oh my God, like this dude could actually be like a totally insane fantasy player. But anyways, this you can bet on this, on who will take Malik Willis. And you can take Malik Willis to take him. You can also take just straight up Steelers take a quarterback first. It was plus 210. Now it's plus 185. I know you were on that one, Amiko. Why not? Can we go Steelers to take Malik Willis? Or you think we're better off going Steelers to take a quarterback first now that it's down to plus 185?
I still prefer to go Steelers to take a quarterback, just because I think that every move that they've made this offseason has said, we are drafting a quarterback this year. They have Trubisky under the two-year contract. Like, he's clearly their bridge guy. You know, they're not going to be bad enough to really be in the mix for a quarterback next year. Like, that's off the table. The CJ Strouds and those guys, like, that's not happening for them. So, you know, they're going to take their quarterback of the future now. They pick 20. It's conceivable that someone gets ahead of them to take Malik Willis, who I would agree is probably the favorite guy that they like. But, you know, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't take Desmond Ridder if Willis was off the board. You know, they want a mobile quarterback. Ridder definitely is that. He ran in the 4.5s at the combine, and he's another guy that it seems like, you know, universally around the league, teams love, you know, for what he does on the board, what he does in the meeting rooms. So you know, I could definitely see Willis going before pick 20 or someone else, you know, beating them up the board for Willis, and then they end up with Ridder. So that's why I probably prefer Steelers quarterback first.
And there's also a pretty good narrative, and some of these, you know, pre-draft narratives are bogus, and some of them don't make sense, and some of them do make sense. I think this one makes sense. Kevin Colbert, their longtime GM, is, you know, outgoing. This is going to be his final draft. It's very similar to the scenario when Ozzie Newsome, who of course competes against the Steelers in the same division, you know, he was in his final year. The Ravens traded back in to get Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round. And I believe that Kevin Colbert could try to leave, you know, the Steelers with a similar scenario. They did pay the money to Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't wind up paying him a lot of money, though. Mm. And I think that Kevin Colbert would, in an ideal scenario, leave the Steelers with their quarterback of the future to come in and compete with Mitchell Trubisky. Malik Willis provides the biggest upside. But I agree that they also could look elsewhere. I mean, Kenny Pickett is right down the road. Desmond Ridder has, you know, an exciting skill set. I like the idea of betting the Steelers to take a quarterback with their first pick.
Yeah, and you know, the price that you get, if you want to bet on just the Steelers take Malik Willis and only Malik Willis, that's plus 350, you know, and that those markets are just so hard. Like, I would really be careful with a lot of these markets that are just so hard, plus 350. I think, like Amico and Evan alluded to, we think they like Malik Willis. Maybe they don't get him. They settle for another quarterback. You can still cash that ticket, even if it's only plus 185 or so. Let's talk about Kenny Pickett for a second here. We took Kenny Pickett to be drafted by specifically the Titans at 50-1. I believe that's down to 25-1 now, but Evan was behind that pick. Evan, why don't you talk a little bit about the Titans quarterback situation and what you're hearing on Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, I mean, I could also see this as they're at 26. I mean, they are in prime position to sort of take whichever quarterback falls into their laps. I also think that Matt Corral could be a possibility for them. That's actually who I had them taking in my first mock draft. I think Kenny Pickett would make sense if he falls there. I think Desmond Ridder would make sense if he falls there. I don't know if Malik Willis, you know, really has a chance to fall there. He could, because of the volatility and all the differing opinions among about all these quarterbacks in this draft. So I really like Titans to take a quarterback with their first pick. And I mean, I liked, you know, we jumped on it with Kenny Pickett to be their first pick. I wouldn't mind throwing a little bit on Matt Corral or Desmond Ridder as well, because you're still going to get them at pretty long odds.
Well, Evan, people are going to say that Ryan Tannehill has played at a reasonably high level for the Titans. They're going to ask, well, Evan, you think they're just going to dump? They want to get out from under Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I think he took a pretty big step back last year. And I also think that, well, I know that they can save almost $20 million against the cap by moving on from him next offseason. And they need to start to think about that.
Yep. Amico, any thoughts on Kenny Pickett's market right now, or anything else on quarterbacks before we move on?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I like where we're at. And, you know, I think all these guys, like Evan said, are kind of in play for Tennessee as they look to bridge on.
The offensive line market is one that we've paid attention to a lot. We took the Ike Ekwonu stuff. We took Charles Cross 14-1 to be the first offensive lineman. We don't have any bets on Evan Neal. And this was one that I brought up to the VSiN guys last night. I mean, Evan Neal, like, I'm no Daniel Jeremiah, but like, prospect profile from Evan Neal is pretty strong, man. Like, IMG Academy, Alabama, can play guard, can play tackle, like, seems like a good dude. I'm surprised that Evan Neal is actually not the favorite to be the first offensive lineman off the board. Evan, any thoughts on this one where Ike Ekwonu is still the favorite? You can get plus 150 on Evan Neal. You get 10-1 on Charles Cross to be the first offensive lineman.
Well, every year, one of the keys to having a you know, relatively accurate mock draft is to figure out which players NFL teams are higher on or lower on than draft Twitter and the, you know, mainstream draft media. Mm-hmm. And I think that this year, my sense is that NFL teams are potentially significantly higher on Charles Cross than is the NFL draft, you know, industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And I think that they are lower potentially on Evan Neal for whatever reason. Lance Zierlein was saying it, maybe it's because a lot of NFL teams view Ekwonu as well, but Evan Neal in particular as a guard in the NFL. And it's a consensus almost that Charles Cross is a left tackle. And that Charles Cross, because he's such a good pass protector, he could be valued, you know, by especially a team like the Giants, who now they are run by Brian Daboll. This dude likes to throw the piss out of the ball, and he's going to want a guy that can pass protect for Daniel Jones or whoever the quarterback of the future is going to be for the Giants. And then the other guys are better as run blockers. And so the NFL teams, which are now, you know, really embracing the explosive pass plays, they're, you know, there's been an influx of young coaches across the league. They are higher on Charles Cross and a little bit lower on the better run blocking offensive tackles / guards.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like we got some good prices in this offensive line market. Nothing on Evan Neal, though, Amico. Any thoughts on what's currently going on with the offensive line market?
Yeah, I've looked at Neal a couple of times just because I don't believe that Ekwonu is properly priced. Like, I definitely don't see him as, you know, whatever, a minus 130 or minus 150 favorite, wherever you're looking. Like, that doesn't really make a ton of sense to me. I think, you know, once we got past the fact that he might not go one and he was like the guy maybe for them at one, like, that isn't descriptive of how other teams are viewing the position. I mean, we mentioned the Giants might prefer Cross. A team like the Texans may prefer, you know, Neal if they're going that route. So again, like, the deeper you go, the less reliability there is on who's going to go first. So I still don't really know if I want to pull the trigger on that, just because I think the Giants thing seems really real. And it's possible that the Giants are taking the first lineman at 5. So,
yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you that, like, there's opportunity in this market, or there should be, because I agree that Ike Ekwonu, I mean, he's minus 190 to be the first offensive lineman taken on DraftKings. That's a ridiculous price. I don't think that's anywhere close to efficient.
And if the Panthers at 6 aren't, I think at this point, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. And they absolutely would prefer to trade out because they don't have a second or third round pick, and they would love to pick up an extra pick or two to move back. I mean, they need players, man. Yeah. I mean, this team's about to trot out Sam Darnold again. Mm-hmm. This is really rough. But they are also a team that is a prime candidate to take an offensive lineman if they can't find a trade partner. And they've been very connected to Charles Cross. And, you know, Ekwonu is right down the road at NC State. And, you know, I think they're going to take a tackle if they have to sit there. So we also know that the Giants have been rumored to be wanting to trade out to pick up extra additional selections. So if the Giants think that they could just move back a couple spots, pick up, you know, maybe the sliding offensive lineman, and then a team that has a specific offensive lineman in mind, they would need to move ahead of the Panthers into that number 5 slot where we think that the Giants are willing to trade out. And that could be another interesting scenario. I think we're going to get an offensive tackle at number 5 at this point.
I'll say two things on the Panthers. First, I think they're going to try to get one of Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield. Yeah. And second, we took Panthers to take their first pick to be an offensive lineman plus 200. I think we took that a couple of days ago. Line is likely gone now. But yeah, I mean, Panthers seem likely to take an offensive lineman, at least to me, assuming that they stick there for sure. Okay. News came out today, and this has kind of been boiling for a few days here, Evan, this Deebo Samuel thing. It sounds like they offered to pay him like the max, and that's not enough. He doesn't sound like he doesn't want to play running back anymore. He wants his role to be different. Maybe he doesn't want to be a kick returner anymore. I don't know what's going on. But then the report comes this morning, and this is Wednesday morning. He has asked the 49ers for a trade. There's some timely bets we can make with this 49ers to take a wide receiver first. It's plus 425. But first, Evan, what do you think about this whole Deebo mess for the 49ers and then any takes for the draft in them?
Oh, he's got his agent or you know, people around him in his ear. You don't want to be playing this running back role anymore because it's going to be a threat to your longevity. And it makes sense from that standpoint. And he also is a really good receiver when he's utilized in that capacity. So, I mean, he was one of the best offensive weapons, you know, in the NFL, you know, top 3. I would say when he was healthy last year, and I totally get it. But, you know, what's really been strong is that it's a little bit similar to the Devontae Adams situation, where it's not like, all right, listen, you know, I want to trade unless you give me, you know, this certain amount of money. Like, he came out and said, like, I don't want to play in San Francisco anymore. And so that makes me think that there maybe is a little bit more smoke behind this, or a little bit more fire behind this smoke. And so I took 49ers to use their first pick, that's what the bet is, on a wide receiver, period. And so even if they don't trade Deebo Samuel and they keep him, I still think they could take a receiver with their first pick, which isn't until number 61. They would, you know, have Deebo Samuel wanting out. They had, you know, some Brandon Ayuk has been up and down, and they're not particularly deep behind those guys either. Jaywan Jennings is like a role player, you know. So I really like that one. Plus 425 on DK, 49ers to take a wide receiver with their first pick.
Yeah, 425 is certainly a good number there. It's hard with these teams that don't even have a first-round pick. I mean, God knows what the board's going to look like when it gets to the 49ers at 61st overall. Amico, any thoughts on the 49ers situation there? Anything else on that?
I mean, not as much with the market for that team, but I just think that we need to acknowledge like what this could possibly do to the rest of the receivers and the rest of the draft, like in terms of those markets, because, you know, I think universally teams like the Falcons, the Jets, the Chargers, the Saints, the Eagles, like all these teams are being mocked receivers. Well, like what happens when one of those teams trades either their current first round pick or, in the case of the Jets, maybe multiple second round picks for Deebo Samuel? It completely changes the complexion of the draft. So I think we want to be mindful of wherever he goes, and like how that can affect, like, I think that there's a good chance there's going to be like an inefficient board somewhere once he gets traded, if that happens.
Only other wide receiver note I had here I want to talk about was George Pickens, who we took at plus 225 to go in round one. It's plus 105 now. And this is like, there's some people that are really, really high on George Pickens. Obviously, we've talked about Jameson Williams plenty. I think the steam there is gaining. But yeah, there's steam on like a lot of the wide receivers. And as Amico mentioned, there may not be landing spots for all these wide receivers, especially if, you know, teams like the Packers or the Chiefs don't do what everyone expects them to do. So yeah, I mean, I would not take George Pickens to go in round one at plus 105 where it's at now. I liked it at plus 225. But as a whole, Amico, I mean, you know, I think the George Pickens thing is just an example of the depth at wide receiver, and maybe not all these guys are going to go round one. So any further thoughts there on Pickens or anything else like round one, round two wide receiver stuff?
I mean, Pickens just has a lot of upside, right? I mean, I think that the warts are noted already. I mean, you know, he's coming off of two injured seasons, one extremely injured season last year. But a lot of the guys, it seems like a bunch of guys around the league really respect his talent. So are one of those teams picking at the end of the first round? If so, you know, we could see George Pickens. If not, you know, maybe he goes in round two. But, you know, these are the kinds of swings that I think we need to take in a market where, like, you know, adjacent to the Samuel thing, like receivers are getting paid more and more. Like, this is a premium position now. So if you want to save some money on your books, like you're looking to draft quarterback, you're looking to draft edge, you're looking to draft tackle, but I mean, receiver is now right in that mix. And I think that's why we're going to see a lot of these guys go.
I mean, Jamar Chase's cap hit is like $8 million, and Tyreek Hill's cap hit is next year is going to be like $30 million, you know? And like, so you
and
can
Christian
say
Kirk's like, is like $25
million. Yeah. And so, like, having a really good rookie wide receiver is obviously gaining more and more in value for sure.
Yeah. And that was the same argument that Daniel Jeremiah made for why he thinks that some of these wide receivers could go even earlier than expected. And I think they keep moving up in the mock drafts. George Pickens, interesting. Lance Zierlein on their latest show on The Athletic with Dane Brugler said that he thinks that George Pickens, after talking to teams, is likelier to go in the 50s. So he's a really tough guy to gauge. I like where we got him in terms of price, but yeah, there's no way I would touch him around even money right now to go in the first round. Not a chance.
All right, let's wrap up here with a few quick ones. I can't believe we've been discussing this, but Amico insisted that we talk about Matt Arzia, first special teamer to go at plus 150. I mean, Amico's grinded his cock so hard as he has no cock left. Amico, tell the people about whoever the hell this guy is and the market.
So he's a punter. And I mean, this guy, I mean, listen, we're taking every edge, all right? This guy, like, he kicks the ball so far. Like, he has, like, 60-yard punts, 65-yard punts. He's in, like, Dane Brugler's, like, top 120. Like, this guy's going to go in the fourth round of the draft. And you know, you're talking about a special team guy in the fourth round. Like, that's, I have to think that he's going to be first.
So they don't define this market with any return men, right? This is all kickers and punters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess long snappers technically too, but that's obviously not like really going to happen.
Okay.
The Patriots took like a long snapper in the fifth round a couple years ago.
Okay. Well, I'm intrigued by this one, Amico. I mean, this is plus 150 for a guy that, for a punter that's going to go in round four. I mean, that seems pretty good.
Dude, Pete Carroll is salivating right now. Like, he wants this guy bad.
He wants this guy bad. All right. Some of these team ones, and now almost every team on various books has a market for what they will do with their first pick. Evan already talked about the 49ers one. I mentioned the Steelers one. Three here to talk about Saints, Patriots, and Texans. Evan, have you spoken to Underhill? Any inside info on what the Saints are likely to do? You can get offensive line with their first pick, plus 250. You can get wide receiver with their first pick, the Saints, plus 350. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty well known. That's, you know, popularly expected. I think a quarterback could be a lower probability option at one of those selections, but yeah, I mean, those are the two positions that I think that they're strongly considering. And I think Underhill would agree.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the one interesting one is the Texans to take a corner, because they have been so popularly mocked, edge players and offensive linemen. A cornerback like Sauce Gardner, I think, would be an intriguing possibility for them. Lance Zierlein, who works in Houston, also mentioned that they've been doing a ton of work on Stingley out of LSU, Derek Stingley, and that he could be a possibility for them at 13.
Yeah, I mean, plus 450, Amico, in these markets, who they take first is almost can be considered a long shot. Certainly like that one. I feel like Sauce Gardner is like become like the object of draft Twitter's affection lately. I can't go on Twitter without seeing people having full 3.9 for Sauce Gardner. But yeah, any thoughts on how you think about these team ones, Amico?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like a really nice arbitrage play. Like the overall markets have Gardner plus 400 to go third, but they have it plus 450 for them, for Houston specifically, to take a corner or take a D-back at all, depending on where you're looking, plus 450. So like, obviously, like, we get better odds and we get Stingley. Lovie Smith has come out and talked about how they need better cornerback play to play the style of defense that they want. And we're talking about edge players maybe coming off the board at 1 and 2. So, you know, I think that the tackles have been really popularly mocked to them. But when you consider their situation, I mean, Laramie Tunsil is back. I think when the draft season started, it was kind of expected that he would be gone. He's still there. Titus Howard is entering his fourth season with the team. He's a former first round pick. They've yet to pick up his fifth year option, but still could do so. He's the right tackle for them. So like, they're going to draft a guard third overall. I don't know. I mean, like, you could say that they would draft that player and then bump them outside next year. Maybe they don't bring Howard back or whatever, but you know, you listen to the guys like Zierlein and Brugler talk about how corners in the mix, like I think that it makes a lot of sense. So plus 450, I think is a really good price.
Last one is, what will the Patriots do with their first pick? Right now, they are scheduled to pick 21st. We know Bill Belichick is notorious for trading back. Amico, any takes on that market? What will the Patriots do with their first pick?
I mean, they traded Shaq Mason for a song to Brady in Tampa. You know, they have a pretty clear need at interior alignment. I think Zion Johnson out of Boston College has been popularly mocked to them. But also, I mean, just really any offensive lineman, I think that you're talking about supporting Mac Jones. You could do that through receiver. You could also do that through building the O-line. So I think for the price, I mean, I think it's up to like plus 380 now on DraftKings. Like, I would say there's definitely a better than 25% chance that they take a lineman to start the draft.
Yeah, I like that for sure. Personally, I would like to see the Patriots add speed at wide receiver. I mean, they're so freaking slow. Evan, any thoughts on what the Patriots are thinking at pick 21?
Yeah, you want to look at what their odds are to take a linebacker with their first pick, because you know, they have not re-signed Dante Hightower. They moved on from Kyle Van Noy. That's a position that, I mean, they have long prioritized. You know, they've used first round picks on linebackers historically. I want to say you could get it at a pretty good price if I recall correctly, and they could still move back, as they so often do, and take a linebacker later.
Yeah, that's a plus 300 right now on DraftKings.
Okay,
plus
so it's not that great. It's not
on that FanDuel. Great. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not that great, but I think that that's, and they also, they're such a difficult team to forecast, because they so often use early round picks on guys that people are just like, what? You know, I mean, they do it all the time. So, unless we were going to get linebacker at like plus 600 or something, then I think it's a pass. It's a pass for me.
Yeah. I mean, those position markets, plus 430 is like, cause like a long shot in those position markets for sure. Just they juice them so hard, but yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about draft props? We're not going to do another one of these shows, but be sure you are tuned in to the email list and Twitter and Instagram, where we're releasing a majority of these props as more markets open up ahead of next week's draft. Anything else you guys want to mention for the people before we get out of here? All right. We'll be back next week. Well, I'll be back later with Strasser, the king of financial markets, to talk about that. But next week, we'll be hosting a live mock draft as we do every year. I will be serving as your honorable commissioner. Roger Goodell, don't boo me. It'll be Evan drafting against a bunch of other people to be named. That will be fun for sure. Follow Amico. Amico's not going to show for himself, man, but Amico is out here absolutely killing it. Follow Amico on Twitter at Amicsta, AMICSTA. Pay for his Substack. I don't know. I don't know what Amico has going on, but he's just making too much money grinding the props market to really care about self-promotion. For Evan, for Amico. For producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.